Blog Talk Radio.
Good Saturday morning, everybody, and you're listening to Horse Racing Today. And you're listening to Horse Racing Today. I am Eddie the Hat. In studio, we have Hondo with us. And another weekend, an extended weekend of racing out at the great race place, Santa Anita Park. And Hondo, how are you this morning?
I'm doing super.
And folks, we got a couple of, if you're planning on making the trip out via live streaming, a couple of carryovers for you to take note of. The first is in the Super High Five, which is there is a carryover of $5,130.55, and also the single ticket jackpot carryover in the Pick Six is $271,088.96. Meaning, if you were the lone ticket to take down the Pick Six today, you will have that added to your take-home pay. So that's not a bad. Not a bad thing at all. Racing today, 12:30 p.m., as usual, a 9-race card. And there is also holiday racing on Monday with a 12:30 post, and there are 8 races on Monday. So make plans to, sit your butt in front of the computer or however you do it and join everybody else with racing out at Santa Anita. Hondo, some sad words. We learned this morning that the Southern California trainer Barry Abrams passed away last evening after a long bout with cancer. Certainly, Barry was very colorful. He was quite a character. I didn't have a lot of contact with him through the years, but the ones that I did were very memorable. Barry was a character. He was opinionated, but he was also fair and had a wicked sense of humor.
Yeah, Barry was a good guy. I don't think anybody at the track that you run into didn't like Barry. And he was a racing secretary's best friend because, boy, he loved to run his horses.
Yep.
He didn't keep them in the barn.
And no.
He's going to be sorely missed in the industry. He's a super guy.
Yep, and we learned that from owner Harris Sauerbach, who tweeted this morning that he had passed away last evening. And he's still got a lot of horses that are running that he's bred or, had his hand in it. And really a good guy. So rest in peace, Barry. You're going to be missed, but not forgotten, especially with a lot of the unusual heat progeny that are hitting the ground and all that stuff. Well, maybe... I think Barry, one of the stories that I remember from Barry was Barry liked to walk his own horses.
He did, yes. You'd see him in the walking ring in the paddock with his own horses walking them around.
Right.
And I don't think it's because he was just trying to save money. I think he was, he loved his horses. And
yep.
He'll forever be linked with Unusual Heat. Of course, he trained Unusual Heat. And who has turned out to be just a terrific sire, just unbelievable.
Yep, and I remember once when I was in the press box, probably 5-6 years ago, and we were up there in the press box, and we had it was a Friday, and we had just heard that through the the chatter up in the press box that Barry had just taken a horse out of the fourth race, and I quipped, well, that's because he wants to run him back on Sunday. That was the type of guy he was. And, folks, it wasn't because he was cruel or hard on his horses. A lot of times they responded, and they, you know, when a horse gets good and a horse gets sharp and they're feeling good, it's just like taking them out, you know, in the morning and galloping them and putting the work in them. So, anyway, he'll definitely be missed. Hondo, we've been getting some emails starting on Thursday morning about the upcoming Breeders' Cup, which is at Keeneland this year, Friday, November 6th, and Saturday, November 7th. No fans in attendance, correct?
No fans, just like all the other big horse racing events this year, the Triple Crown events, no fans. And, you know, because of that, Keeneland, you know, has been planning this for a year or maybe over a year. This will be the second time that they've hosted a Breeders' Cup. And the first time was a total success. And because that there'll be no fans allowed this year, which is kind of a bummer for Keeneland, they're going to also be allowed now to host the 2022 Breeders' Cup in 2 years. They'll be given that Breeders' Cup. And, of course, next year will be Del Mar. And then in 2 years we'll have Keeneland again.
Yeah, and I can just imagine after an off year with no fans what Del Mar is going to do with that venue down there. They did a marvelous job the first year that they had it, you know, with the media and with the fans, and I can just imagine it's going to be quite an explosion of anticipation and participation in 2021 when Del Mar hosts it, and I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, there were a lot of skeptics who thought Del Mar was going to have problems.
And I was one of them. I'll admit it. I was one of them.
But, boy, they pulled it off and had just a marvelous 2 days of racing at Del Mar in 2017, and I expect nothing but the same next year.
Yep, and I'll admit, I'll eat a full dish of crow because I thought that opening day with the crowds that they had at opening day and the way they weren't able to handle the mutual windows, and you'd have to wait. Sometimes you'd have to wait in line a race prior to making a wager.
Yeah.
If you wanted to bet the fourth, you better get in line right after the third because during the third, because otherwise you'd get shut out and the beverage lines were long, but no, they somehow they pulled it off, and it was a great day. Although I got to tell you, I wasn't downstairs during the Breeders' Cup, but
I think capping it, you know, they capped the attendance. I forget what it was, somewhere around 35 or something. They didn't allow over 40 like they had for a couple of Pacific Classics or opening days. But it turned out really good. They handled it well. They went to Keeneland, I believe. Keeneland had it, was it the year before or 2 years before? And, I think Keeneland had it in 2015. And they went and saw how Keeneland handled it and took notes. And they did a fantastic job themselves 3 years ago.
Right. And I know you're involved with Breeders' Cup polls and everything. What are some of the horses to watch? And you have any horses that you might want to give the listeners that they can start following now? Because believe it or not, it ain't that far away.
Yeah, well, I'm privileged enough to they asked me to vote on a weekly Breeders' Cup Classic poll, which ranks the top 10 Breeders' Cup Classic horses each week. And, of course, Midnight Bizou was retired last week, which was kind of a bummer. So we won't be seeing her at the Breeders' Cup this year.
Was it just because of any
an injury okay. to her leg? But I believe it might have been a tendon injury.
Okay.
But she's fine. She'll be okay. She's gonna, you know, go on and have a career as a broodmare. So everything's good. But she's that's the good news, that she retires healthy.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
That she'll be able to have babies and. But right now, the big question in the Classic is, will Swiss Skydiver go in the Distaff or in the Classic? And right after the Preakness, trainer Kenny McPeak indicated, and also the owner indicated, that they were leaning toward the distaff. But then the next day, I believe Kenny McPeak told Mike Willman of Santa Anita that they haven't made up their mind yet, that Kenny McPeak loves the mile and a quarter distance of the Classic for his filly, which, you know, the Classic's a mile and a quarter as opposed to a mile and an eighth for the distaff. So who knows? The only thing for certain is if Swiss Skydiver goes in the Classic and wins, she's hands down Horse of the Year. There's no debate. No debate at all.
Yeah.
And even if she goes in the distaff and wins that, and we have an upset in the Classic, then she could still be Horse of the Year. So she's right in the running for Horse of the Year. What she's done this year at 9 different tracks, just amazing filly.
She's like Zenyatta Jr.
Yeah, she's campaigned all over the country, taking all comers, raced against the boys twice, second in the Bluegrass, and then of course winning the Preakness. And she's a very, very special racehorse.
And while we're thinking about it, we want to give a shout out to our pal up north, Josh, for his fillies performance yesterday against the boys. Mama Mocha, I believe 25-30 to 1, solid runner-up effort. So that's good. We always like to mention our buddies who have good days at the track, and we know he certainly did. So keep an eye on up north, folks, on Mama Mocha. She's a very promising maiden, and turf maiden. So keep an eye on her, because she's certainly got a little bit of talent, a little bit of ability. There's no doubt about that after yesterday's race. All right, let's take our walk down to the paddock and give everybody the trainer and jockey standings. And this segment is brought to you by GMV Art. And if you ghouls and goblins are looking for an illustrator, a graphic designer, or any artistic needs, check out the 31 Days of Delhi. This is a month-long event featuring one horror-themed illustration after another each day in October. Check it out at GMV_art on Instagram or on their website at GiovanniVelas.com. All right, and tell them the hat sent you. That always helps. All right, let's get to the jockey standings as they are through this morning. We have Flavian Pratt leading the way. Why not? At 16, Juan Hernandez with 11. Luis Saez, who is back east now, back in his home base, remains tied with Ricardo Gonzalez with 5 wins. Abel Cedillo and Humberto Rispoli with 4. And then let's go ahead and mention everybody with 3 wins. They are Tiago Pereira, Drayden Van Dyke, Victor Espinoza, Alexis Centeno, Tyler Bays, and Mario Gutierrez. And we'll go over, turn the page to the trainers. We have Peter Miller leading the way with 9, Bob Baffert with 4, and then we've got the following with 3. Richard Baltas, Mark Klatt, John Sadler, Phil D'Amato, and Peter Burton. So, and then let's go to the owner page. And nice to see Red Baron's Barn and Rancho Temescal currently leading the pack with 4 wins. And then we've got Ronus Racing, Tim Bankers, and Wilson, David and Holly Wilson with 2. So congratulations to everybody who just had their name mentioned, because you're off to a pretty good start at the still relatively young meet at Santa Anita.
And shout out real quick to apprentice jockey Jessica Pfeiffer. Is it Pfeiffer or Pfeiffer?
Pfeiffer, I think. Pfeiffer. P-Y or P-Y-H-E-R. Pfeiffer or Pfeiffer.
But she got her first win yesterday aboard Indy Jones, 14-1 shot in the Santa Anita finale yesterday. And she's apparently got some talent, because Richard Mandela let her, not Richard Mandela, Richard Mandela, yeah, let her gallop Omaha Beach in the mornings.
Yeah.
And Peter Miller had her on a horse yesterday. So, you know, Peter Miller is not going to put somebody on a horse that he doesn't think can ride.
No, and so, if they can't ride, they're going to hear about it after the race.
Yes, definitely. But congratulations to her, and hopefully that launches her off to a successful career.
Yep, and it was nice to see her get attacked in the winner's circle yesterday with numerous pails of ice water from her fellow jockeys and the riding colony. That was nice to see that. And
I believe she's the stepdaughter of Phil D'Amato, the trainer. So
she's got a, I didn't know, but I do know she's got a solid race background.
Yes.
So that's going to help her.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll have the second half of horse racing today. We'll get out to Santa Anita, look at the features today, and also give you a couple of free plays. Don't go far away. Go ahead. Refresh that adult cocktail of choice, or maybe a bland cup of coffee, but we'll be right back. Saturday morning by horseracing-selections.com. Folks, if you haven't had an opportunity to check out the website, please do, and take advantage of our multiple day packages as well as our daily rate with our horse racing report plus selections, and also sign up for our weekly newsletter that goes out every Thursday, which is filled with information that will benefit you, the handicapper. Horseracing-selections.com. All right, today's feature race in the eighth race, the California Distaff Handicap. This is a $100,000 event, 5.5 furlongs on the turf. And from the rail out, under J.J. Hernandez is Nardini at 8-1. Smiling Shirley, handled by Mike Smith, at 6-1. Althea Gibson with Ricky Gonzalez at 8. The morning line favorite, Just Grazed Me, will be ridden by Umberto Rispoli at 6-5. Fantasy Heat under Giovanni Franco at 3. And Gypsy Blue with Abel Cedillo at 7-2. Hondo, what do you think about this race?
This is a six-horse race, and Phil D'Amato has 2 in there, and Mark Glad has 2 in there.
Yes.
So they kind of have this race surrounded. But I went with Just Grazed Me. I think she's the... she's the class horse in this race. She's won 3 out of 7 at the distance, 2 out of 5 at Santa Anita, so she likes the turf course at Santa Anita. She's been off since May, but I don't think that's going to really, really bother her. I think she can run fresh. And, you know, she's run in graded races. In fact, she won the grade 3 Ken Matty at Santa Anita back last fall. In November, and so she's, you know, I don't think any other horse in this field has won a graded race, so I think she's the class, and I think she's going to win with Rispoli on her, I went with Glatz, 2 horses, 2nd and 3rd in this race.
Yeah, she's definitely got the class, and we're talking about Just Graze Me, no doubt about that. The only, I of course, picked her on top. My only concern is that she's stretching her legs in the morning at Los Al, and that I like to see horses with at least 1 work over the track. But I'm not going to second-guess Phil D'Amato. I don't know what the situation is, why she's there. But I would say that if you're looking maybe for a price in here, and you don't want to take 6-5, undoubtedly going to be lower than that. That would be the only white elephant in the room, as far as I'm concerned, is her working in the morning at Los Al. But not a bad thing for a turf horse with the tight turns, obviously, and who knows? Like I said, I'm not going to second-guess the Amato in that spot at all. As far as a free play, radio play, Hondo, who do you...
I'm going to go to the fourth race, a $40,000 optional claimer for fillies and mares. I like the outside horse by Richard Baltus, Dulce, at 5-1 on the morning line. Mario Gutierrez has ridden this filly in both her starts. He stays with her today. When Baltus and Gutierrez team up, they're 22% success rate. And I think this filly is, after breaking her maiden by a nose at Del Mar and came back in the same level she's running today and ran a strong third, beaten length in three quarters. I think she's set up for a really nice race. I think she's got the ideal spot, the number eight post, and I think she's going to be rolling in the lane today, and I love Baltus on the turf.
All right, and I'm going to give you an exact horse out of that same race, and we're going to go with the two-horse here, Over-Attracted, for John Sadler, Umberto Rispoli, in the irons here. This horse showed across, down at the beach at Del Mar, showed much improved speed last time under Juan Hernandez in a pretty salty group. So with that going... in her favor, as well as the cutback and distance, a little bit of freshening. We think that Over-Attracted, the two horse, is going to be tough to beat here. So go ahead and bet both horses to win and bet a nice little exacta box. That's the way to go, there. Anna, what do you think? Is Santa Anita still doing well? No injuries, no major catastrophes out there, as far as
the first 7 days, I don't think there's been any fatalities, which is great news. And of course, it's a shortened 16-day meet. It was supposed to be 18 days, but because of the fires, they got a late start, so it'll only be 16 days. But of course, don't forget we got Monday racing this week.
That's right.
A holiday card on Monday, so 4-day weekend, and it's nice to see these 9 race cards rather than 10 and 11 race cards.
Amen.
I really like this, and I like the consistent 12:30 first post every day.
Amen on that.
Fridays and weekends, it's 12:30, and that's the way it should be, unless you get a situation where you have a 10 or 11 race card and it's getting dark early, then I can understand starting earlier, but... I love these consistent first posts.
Yep. Now, like I've said in the past, there's no need to run 10, 11 races every weekend. All it does is deplete the horse population. And I think, really, in all fairness, I think we're seeing that now.
Yeah.
Some of the fields are starting to get a little light, and that's because, especially with the scrutiny now being placed on the trainers and the vet checks and all of this, it's a good thing. The horses are getting a little bit more time between races, but it's hard to fill. And, I was looking maybe at a 10-race card on Monday, and entries come over, and it's 8 races. And
yeah,
it's a light 8 races. So I think they need to do that. They need to get back, and I've said it before, I don't think there's anything wrong with having a 7-race, weekday cards, and then 9 races on the weekends.
Yes.
And it saves the population. But again, I'm not a racetrack executive, and I don't work in the racing office, so I understand what they're trying to do to create money, handle, and all of that good stuff. But bottom line is you're not going to have a lot of handle if you're not putting out a real solid product, and that's a problem. And
my only question is, are we ever going to get back to 4-day weeks again?
I hope so.
I'd like to see, in order to do that with the horse population, I'd like to see Thursday and Friday cards with maybe 7 races, and
yeah,
then go with 9 on Saturday and Sunday.
Yep, I don't know why they don't do that. They, you know, it's greed, and they want to get as much money and everything. And again, I understand it. You know, I understand the principle and why they do it, but it doesn't help the cards later on down the line. And like I said, we're seeing that now. I was really surprised. 8 race card on Monday, and the entries are light.
Yeah, I was surprised today when I, yesterday, printing out the PPs, and it was for a 9 race card. It was only 18 pages.
Yep.
Which, you know, surprised me because Friday, yesterday, it had 24 pages for a 9 race card.
Yeah.
I thought it would be more for a weekend, but it wasn't.
Try 13 on Monday.
Wow.
So,
yeah, that's light.
Yeah. So they've done some great things out there at Santa Anita. It's still my favorite track. I don't want to call myself a Santa Anita shill, but sometimes I am because I love that place with all the, you know, the memories, and that's the track I grew up at. But I want to see full fields, and I don't think really we're ever going to see that again.
There's something special about Santa Anita when you go out there, especially if you go out there early in the morning in Clocker's Corner, when you're able to again. It's just a special place.
Have you heard anything about that, when fans are going to be allowed?
No. Both, you know, I've spoken with Aiden Butler at Santa Anita. I've spoken with Joe Harper at Del Mar, and neither one of them have any idea. It's all up to the county officials. The tracks right now are just happy to run. They're not going to be rocking the boat. So
yeah, and I don't blame them.
Yeah.
The only thing that concerns me is that you know, bettors are creatures of habit, and the internet off-track wagering has hurt the sport a lot as far as attendance, on-track attendance goes.
Oh,
and,
no doubt,
and,
no doubt.
The only thing that's that concerns me is that fans are going to get used to sitting in front of their computer, and that we're even going to have less, when this comes back, we're going to even have less attendance because people are going to start getting used to it. They're going to start buying their beer at home and drinking it at home, and it's just,
I think, you know, there's certainly the argument to be made for that, and there's argument to be made for people just chomping at the bit, and when the track gates finally do open, people are going to be rushing to get out and see live racing.
Well, I know.
But
I
then,
will.
You know, but then that could wear off, and it could go right back into the pandemic mode where they're staying at home and watching the races on TV. So they the track's got to do something about that, whether it's lowering the concession prices for a beer or a hot dog. I don't know what the answer is, but they got to look hard and try to come up with a solution to get the fans on track.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. And I, you know, well, hopefully, I would like to optimistically think that by December 26th, opening day at Santa Anita, maybe they'll allow, you know, fans back. You know, it's funny. I had a friend, I'm not going to mention his name, but said, hey, there's no problem. There's no problem social distancing at the racetrack because there's hardly anybody out there anymore.
Yeah, well, when I talked to Tyler Bays for a column a couple of weeks ago and I mentioned, what's it like riding with no fans? And he goes, well, not to be mean or anything, but it's kind of no different at Santa Anita during the middle of the week.
Exactly.
You know, so, you know, and there's that.
Yep, I know. It's but anyway, hopefully we'll just remain optimistic and hopefully things will get back to normal. All right, well, that's going to do it for us this morning. Hondo, thank you for joining us.
Okay.
And listeners, I appreciate you taking time out of your Saturday to join us. A quick reminder that we'll be back on board with you tomorrow night for At the Wire, and that show airs from 8 to 8:30 p.m. Pacific, and then, of course, every Thursday morning from 6:30 a.m. until 7 a.m. with At the Quarter Pole. And tomorrow night, on our show tomorrow night, we'll have a lot of horses to watch that are coming out of this weekend's races. Horses that you're going to want to follow, and some horses that you might not want to follow. And we'll dissect that tomorrow night. Until tomorrow, good luck with your wagers today out at Santa Anita. Thanks for joining us, and have a great rest of your day.